Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
We live in a world, well, everyone does, Christians and non-Christians, but we should have a different perspective of this world, all that's going on. It shouldn't shake us. It should give us more confidence, cause us to become even more sure in our faith, because the scripture says exactly what's going to take place and what happens in the very end and what's going to go on in the meantime and in the between time. And so we don't have to walk around like we're uncertain or concerned, or we're trying to, like neighbors looking outside, what's that, who's at my door? We don't have to do that. We don't have to be revelation runners.
Today, Pastor Troy will remind you that this world is not a Christian's home. This earth is a temporary home. Our home is in heaven with Jesus Christ. But because of this, we should have a different perspective on the world and our lives here. Do you live your life as if this life is the only one that matters? Pastor Troy will also encourage you to live your life in service to the Lord. When you serve the Lord, your life will have meaning and joy. Christ's last words were to go and make disciples. This is our mission. Now here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 12 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 29. The title is Be Sure, Not Shaken. I think it's a good title because as Christians, we live in a world, well, everyone does, Christians and non-Christians, but we should have a different perspective of this world, all that's going on. It shouldn't shake us. It should give us more confidence, cause us to become even more sure in our faith, because the scripture says exactly what's going to take place and what happens in the very end and what's going to go on in the meantime and in the between time. And so we don't have to walk around like we're uncertain or concerned, or we're trying to, like neighbors looking outside, what's that, who's at? Who's at my door? We don't have to do that. We don't have to be revelation runners, you know, those who can get a little caught up in revelation. What's going on? What color is the moon today? What color is the sun? Wow, oh, he's coming. And you're looking for the signs and chasing those things. We don't have to do that. The next thing that's going to happen for us, we're out of here. All of those major signs that are going to be really destructive and scary, we're going to watch from heaven, and we're going to see them from a different perspective, so we don't have to go, where are they? Where are they? It's going to be more like watching, it talks about the end times unfolding like a pregnant woman, birth pangs. Do we have to wake up every day and go, where are you at? Are you bigger? What's going on? We don't have to do that. We see it. It's natural. It's natural for us to see it. We know they're pregnant, and we watch it unfold. As Christians, that's exactly what happens. We know the scriptures, we study the scriptures, and we look out and we go, I see the signs. I see it every day.
Well, what about our politics? What do you think about this?
This is what happens to governments. This is what happens to people who try to govern themselves. I see it. So I'm not shaken. I'm even more certain, more sure about my faith. In fact, I'm confident, not because of what's going to happen to the world. I'm confident because I know what's going to happen to me, ultimately. So as believers, we shouldn't be shaken. We shouldn't seem panicked. We should be more sure, because the world needs something that's stable in a world that's crumbling. So one thing that helps us to be more sure is that we have a relationship with the Lord. We don't just follow some religion where we're looking through glasses at signs or different things like the Mormon church had done early on. Joseph Smith, he used those false glasses and said he saw certain things and interpreted certain things. We don't have to do that. We have a relationship with the Lord. We say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to know today? And then he directs us and he leads us. We can be sure and not shaken. This is a message, I think, that the author is trying to communicate to some Hebrews who were concerned about all of the things that were being shaken up around them. All of a sudden, persecution, they're the target of hatred. Even the government was coming down on them, and they're thinking, whoa, what's this? And there was a tendency to be shaken. He says, you know what? You should expect this. You can be sure. And this is exactly what's going to take place. And then we see a contrast. We'll talk about the old covenant versus the new covenant and what that means for us as we go forward. So in verse 18, we read, "For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling." The signs, right? Oh, you didn't come to that mountain. The first thing we're going to talk about is the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant exposes sin. That's what the Old Covenant did. It struck fear in the hearts of the individuals because they were sinners and they needed to be aware of it. And they also needed to be aware that there was judgment for that. So they were fearful. They were afraid. They couldn't approach God. He's describing the terror they experienced at the giving of the law. When God gave the law, they said, hey, Moses, we don't know if this is the Lord or just you. He says, okay. So Moses cried out to the Lord and says, okay, you tell those people. You tell them to come. Not too close. Tell them to stand back. Refrain from all of these things. Cleanse themselves. They better be squeaky clean. They better not say things. They better not move the wrong. I mean, it's come up and be afraid. And so God thundered from the mountain, lightnings. There were signs. This is me. And God spoke. And the people said, okay, that's enough. No more. We don't need any more. We'll listen to Moses. Moses, you go talk to him, and we'll listen to you. That was their experience. We want to hear from the Lord. Okay, here's what he sounds like, because he's a holy, consuming God. So here's my voice. Finally, they begged, that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Don't. No more. One-on-one with the Lord. It says that even Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. That was a fearful experience. At the giving of the law, God was, one, letting the people know that this is me. Now, as Christians, do we need such a sign? Do you need that sign? We live by faith. So we don't need rumblings and lightnings and thunderings to go, yeah, this is the Lord that's doing this stuff. We know what's going to happen. We know it. We see it unfolding naturally before our eyes. It's so easy to see. The Middle East mess. Governments can't figure it out. We understand it. We can't resolve it because we know the resolve. All we can do is let it play out. Let God do what he's going to do. But it doesn't shake us. It shouldn't shake us because we know what's going on in the world. But at the giving of the law, God was also reintroducing the idea of right and wrong. He was giving the law. You shall do this. Do not do this. And he gave laws, right and wrong. You're on this side of that, you're against me. Stay on this side, or it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He wanted to impress upon them the seriousness of not being with him on his side. in submission to him. So it was a fearful experience. Sometimes I get that reaction from my kids. I don't thunder down.
Here's what you must do, children.
I don't do that. But whenever I come in with the law, they act the same way as the Israelites did. Oh, we don't want to hear it. Don't say that again. We know. Because I'll go to the store. I'm going to go to the store and they know, hey, if your rooms are not in order, clean, I'm not going to go in and say, hey, clean them up so we can go to the store. If I'm going to go to the store, the privilege, the blessing of having your stuff all already in order is that you can go. But if I'm going, I'm not going to stop and wait for someone to clean up their room. So the goal is always have your room picked up and clean so that you are available. It's kind of like the Christian life, right? God doesn't go, I want to use you. Man, you're such a wicked, vile sinner. Filthy. Go clean up, and then I'll use you. I'm going to hold my plan. He doesn't do that. He says, hey, I'm going to go forward. I'm going to do this. Well, you're unavailable. Let me use you, this foolish thing over here. Because they are cleansed. They are prepared. They're ready. They're useful. And so they get used. We should want to be ready for the Lord, prepared, looking at our schedules so that we're not so booked that we have to go, Lord, man, I would love to do that, but how about October or November? Let's say, what's your priority? What's the most important thing to you? Well, we recognize that the most important thing to us is often us. And so the old covenant exposed sin, the fact that we couldn't keep everything that enabled us to stand in the presence of God. And it was a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. No one was perfect enough. No one, not even Moses. But God was merciful. Moses stood and talked to him as a man talks to another man face to face, but there was some sense of distance because Moses said, show me more. Show me more of your glory. I want to be closer to you. God said, you know, I'll destroy you. But here's what I'll do. I'll show you the very tail end of my glory. And that was enough to cause Moses to glow. Because God is so perfect, so holy. Now, the Old Testament exposed sin, that we are sinners. And it's important that people understand what sin is and how sin has impacted our lives, because we talk to the world like they understand this. You're a sinner, you have to repent. And their response is often, I'm not a bad person. Well, we're not saying you're a bad person in the world by the world's standards. We're saying you're a sinner, and there is a difference. Do you realize that? There's a difference in being a sinner and a bad person by the world standards. You know, bad person to us is murder, rape, all those things. That's bad. But hey, there's some really nice people out there doing some really good things. But they're sinners.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. A sinner is somebody who has forsaken God. Somebody who says, I'm going to live my life as my own captain, independent of God, doing things my own way, making my own choices, choosing right and wrong for myself. I will decide what's right and wrong, not God. That's a sinner. And every time we choose right and wrong apart from the Lord, that's sin. I choose this. I think this is better. I think this is the right way. Without God as our governor, our guide. So you can see, we're all sinners because we all want to live and try to live independent of God on our own. Like, we've got it figured out. I know what's right and wrong. I know the best thing. It's what Eve was tempted with in the garden. Remember, I keep going back to this. He told Eve, you won't die. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. In other words, you're not going to be more enlightened or more educated. You can decide for yourself right and wrong. You won't need God. You'll be like him. Right now, he tells you right and wrong. Right now, he guides you. He tells you, don't eat of the fruit. Don't do this. You can eat of these. He tells you all of that. You obey him, but you don't have to have it that way. You can be like that. You can decide for yourself, eat of the fruit, and you'll know right and wrong. That was the trick of the devil, and it's a trick that still works today. So we need to understand what sin is and just how depraved we really are. Because no one will go to heaven, not without the new covenant, which we'll talk about in a moment. Now, because we have sinned, and the essence of sin is independence and separation from the Lord, it puts us in a place where we're clueless about what's right and wrong. We're deciding that ourselves, trying to figure it out by our culture, what everyone else says, or whatever means we may use. So we're clueless of right and wrong, which means we don't even know the way back to heaven in relationship with the Lord. We are what the Bible calls lost, without hope. Sin has separated us. And being separated, we're also not able to hear his voice. I mean, if the Israelites couldn't stand cleansed and even receive his voice, how can we, if we are separated, even hear his voice? So again, we are lost. Now, phase one was the old covenant, the revelation of sin, the revealing that you are sinners. In fact, Romans 7:7 says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Because he's telling them, you don't have to follow the law now. So he's saying, is doing that sin? He's saying, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. So we need to understand that we are sinners, and what sin is. Ray Comfort and Kirk Cameron have a ministry, and it's an evangelistic ministry, and they use something, I don't want to call it a technique, that's martial arts, right? But it sounds kind of martial arts-esque, the way of the master. We're going to go out there and take the gospel. But the idea is this, and it's a good one. It doesn't work in every scenario, but it's a good one because the world doesn't realize they're a sinner. And what they do is they say, hey, have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen? Then if God has laid out these standards of what's acceptable and what's called sin, then by his own standards and by your own acknowledgement, you've just declared yourself a sinner. So they're helping them to see sin. Oh, yeah, well, yeah. Because in the bottom of their heart, they're thinking, well, I'm not a bad person. Yeah, okay, but have you done these things? Okay, then, according to God and according to your confession, you're a sinner. And then they go on to explain what happens to sinners, and they share the gospel with them. But you have hope. It makes a lot of sense. But that's the first thing that people need to understand, is that they're a sinner, and that doesn't mean you're calling them a bad person, but that they're sinners, and that sinners will have no part in the kingdom of heaven. In fact, sinners produce the fruit of the flesh, which may not be adultery and murder and theft, but it may be self-righteousness and pride, self-ambition. Not that we shouldn't be ambitious in the things of the Lord, but I want to be somebody. I want to be something. The Lord doesn't use those individuals. He uses those who recognize they're nothing and then uses them. In fact, those who had the potential to think they were something, he often spent many years breaking them down before they were usable. That includes King David. King David was a very humble guy, I thought, but we don't know what was rising up in his heart. God knows. After defeating the giant, the people singing the songs, and you know, he was still a humble guy, but we don't know what was going on in there, but God knows. And so God saw it fit to take him out and send him on the run for a time, for his life, to learn how to be a king after God's own heart. So these Hebrews, they're considering turning back to the law, to that religious system that simply exposed sin but did not help them with sin. It was incomplete. So he reminds them of that fearful distance they had. That's the relationship you want to go back to? That distance? And instead, he reminds them of that glorious relationship and life that is ahead of them. Verse 22, "But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the covenant and the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." So, second thing, the new covenant overcomes sin. He contrasts Mount Zion, the giving of the law, with the heavenly Mount Zion and the giving of, or the pouring out of God's grace into his church. See, Jesus died for something far more than just being a moral, law-abiding people. He provided an atonement that allows us to be citizens of heaven. That's much better. And he describes the citizens of heaven. Innumerable company of angels. That's pretty cool. The general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. So us, we are, as soon as we commit our life, we surrender ourselves because of the blood of Christ. Our ticket's been paid, stamped, paid in full. So we're registered in heaven. The spirits of just men made perfect. That could refer to the Old Testament saints who were living just lives because they were obeying the Lord and then later made perfect because of the blood of Christ. Jesus will be there. Heaven's going to be amazing. It's going to be an amazing place. There'll be so many overcomers to talk to. I mean, I've always wondered, you know, what will we do all of that time? And before I grew as a Christian, you know, your early thoughts are, man, it's going to be boring in heaven. We're just going to have harps and float on clouds. I mean, what is heaven going to be like? Because that's what the world portrays it as. But it's going to be amazing. You like surround sound? You like HD, or what do we got now? 4K television? I'm not sure what's out now, but vivid imagery, surround sound, good theater experience. Well, the first thing we're going to do, and get your popcorn ready, we're going to go up to heaven and we're going to watch a 7-year movie, an unfolding. And we're going to see, you know, with the 3D glasses, we're going to see with the glasses that see the way God sees. Because instead of seeing a man who's deceptive and so charismatic, we're going to see the dragon. The images we see when we do read Revelation are the images you see from heaven's perspective. You know, on earth we see a man, charismatic, awesome. But on heaven's side, you see a dragon deceiving. Oh man, it's going to be awesome. We're going to have it all in heaven. It's going to be the most amazing experience that we could fathom.
Faith is something that sounds easier than it realistically is. As we've continued to study through the book of Hebrews, though, we hope you've noticed just how often faith is referred to. Many people have held on to their faith despite trials and despite personal mistakes. This wasn't easy, but we have their lives, the Word of God, and the support of the body of Christ to help us thrive. Here at Building on the Solid Rock, we realize how hard this journey of faith is for everyone. We want you to know that we pray for you often. If you ever have a specific prayer request, please email us at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can find out more about this ministry as well as listen to other messages from Pastor Troy by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast while you're there to never miss a new edition of this program. That site again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. Thanks for tuning in today. Pastor Troy will continue walking with us through Hebrews next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.